Why did summer go so quickly? Was it something that you said? Lovers
You're listening to It Lifeline with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Okay, we've got a caller on the line from London, England, and this lady, her name is Heather, and she's benefited from listening to the program all the way over there, and she has a mother with dementia, in case you're just joining our program, and she has watched me dealing with codependence and all the terrible diseases that come from that. It's the love-hate thing vibrating from one thing to another, but you can't see it going on. You can see an irritable person, or you can see a person that's calm, or looks calm, but it's not really. It's hiding it. But getting angry 1 minute, but before you know it, they've got it controlled, repressed, and this sweet face stays sort of stable. But something's going on underneath there. And Heather has a mother that has dementia. My wife has it too. And it's a learning curve for me. But it's a 63-year learning curve because the symptoms only came out a couple of years ago. See, and began to come out. Other people were able to catch it before I did. I thought she was just being difficult, but she's not. Assisi gets jealous, and she, you know, of other women looking at me. I don't care about other women, but she sees other people looking and then resents me as if it was my fault, the kind of thing, you see. And then nothing of the sort. She's got this judgment thing and doesn't say to me, why are you looking at that lady? No, she doesn't. She judges me as if I was doing that, or gets angry with the person that looks at me in a certain way and includes me as, you know, as in being improprietous in her head. It's all quiet, and it's going on all the time, day in, day out, year after year. And then every now and then a little difficulty, and then every now and then more difficulty, and then problems, see. And as long as I could hold my ground, but the holding my ground is what something within that person can't get me to. See, damned if I gave in. David, damned if I gave in when in the frustration moments, and damned if I give in if she loves me a little bit more than she should and does not the nice things, hoping that I'm be nice to her back. But I just assume that when you make me dinner, you do it because you want to, not because you want some kind of, you know, reward. See, that kind of thing. And so,
Roy.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you a little something? Perhaps this may help other people.
Yes, I just had to introduce it with what I was doing. Okay.
With between me and my mother,
yes.
a few days ago.
Yes.
You mentioned being accused of something.
Yes.
Right. I was getting ready to go out and putting my coat on and putting, you know, my key in my pocket and things. Mm. And my mother looked at me and said, "You're taking my things." She was sort of, I sort of looked at her and I said to her, "Oh, you're accusing me of stealing. You haven't done that before." And as quick as a flash, she came back at me, "You've only just started." And I had to laugh because I was standing back sufficiently to recognize the accusation and recognize the switch.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's right.
I'm looking at her thinking, this is odd. But because I'd heard you talk about spiritual space, and also I'm doing the seven minute meditation,
mm-hmm.
so I have the kind of I've been using the tool that has been given to me through you to give me the space in which to stand my ground and look at this little situation that came up, I can kind of, I can start to see what's going on. And so I think I just, I mean, I didn't, so I didn't go into the old habit pattern of overreaction.
That's right. Okay, so don't go away. I'll let you continue your thoughts, because it's well, your thoughts are well thought out. We're coming to dementia on this other side of the program. Just stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, 800-866-8883.
You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
It looks like we're going to have a whole hour in addition to what was said previous to the opening of this program at 7 minutes past 7 our time. So we got a lady from London. Her name's Heather. She calls me fairly often. She has problems. She's solving them. Now she's got dementia with her mother. And I have the same thing with my wife to some degree. But I'm learning. I've learned from a lot about women by being married. And I don't fall into the traps of intimidation. And that could also cause frustration, because there's a willfulness in a person who has dementia. And an unconscious dishonesty of appearing to be what you're not. Am I not right, Heather?
Absolutely, Roy. Absolutely. And my mother was formally diagnosed some 4 or 5 years ago. And I've been doing my best as the dutiful programmed dutiful daughter, to deal with all the thing, you know, all the things that this throws up. But since I've heard you talk about codependency, and I've recognized my codependency with my mother.
So you could be dependent on anybody, just not like husband and wife, but
exactly.
Mother and daughter. Yes.
This is where I think, I hope that our conversation may be useful.
Yes.
Because you have the husband-wife dynamic.
Right.
I have the mother-daughter dynamic.
That's right. It can take any form. It can take form. It can be political too, you know. It can be political.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm, as I was saying before the break, when you spoke during that Sunday conversation about spiritual space,
yes.
It was like this aha light bulb moment for me. That the
would you like me just to say what the spiritual space is for listeners, or would you like to share?
Yes,
or would you like to share your own view of that? Since you,
well, the. The way I let me see, I'll slow down a bit. The spiritual space is standing back. It's the antidote to the unhealthy closeness that develops between people.
Can I stop you right there? Just right there.
Yes.
Because when you withdraw, when you have that space between you and that person, the tendency is they're used to having their way, being angry 1 minute and being sweet the next. And there's a certain way that people like that have their way.
Manipulation.
Manipulation. Because
yes.
Because 1 minute is anger and 1 minute isn't being sweet, and it's affecting everybody around them that way.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. See that? So that's how you do it. And so she has her way, and not realizing that her way is coming from codependency, depending upon, you know, how well another person responds to the irritation aspect, and then quickly followed by a sweetness and light love kind of love in approval for what you're having her way. But the difference between your mother and maybe my wife is that she's kept this as a secret. I haven't seen it. It's right below the surface. And so it seems to be smooth, except she's difficult. That's for many, many years. And then it gets more difficult. And the thing is, what makes it worse is her lack of understanding of what I'm saying and the unwillingness to see it. So I stand my ground and do not add to the problem. So, but the point is, she doesn't have her way without playing with the will. Then she turns to other people to support her and says nasty things about me to other people, see? And then the people will play that game with just strangers. See that?
Yes, I see that.
See this? And so she's justified. I won't justify her. But then the tendency is to look to other people for the game to continue, because she lives off of it, not realizing she's dying from it. See that? So, but in the long run here, to put a little end to my story here, she's waking up. The whole idea is to get her to wake up. That's not easy, because the love-hate relationship, when it's especially in a woman, is very powerful. Because you never can know whether she's being wanted. You never know. It's the movements between love and hate is so tiny that it could look pleasant all the time. See that?
Yes, absolutely.
It's like a little vibration that goes on backwards and forwards, like a wire that's vibrating.
Yes. I have lived with that for, well, almost my entire life. I'm 57. And I've lived with that my entire life, and I am, by the grace of God, I am now given the gift to see it, and
what you're saying is you had that same thing, you were part of that love-hate relationship. So, husband and wife are both parts of it.
Yes.
The man in his way, the woman in her way. Yeah.
I have a younger brother. I was, I'm the oldest, and I took it well, but perhaps David and I can do a show one day on being the oldest, and I just, you know, absorbed the whole thing. It was the environment in which I was living, and it was toxic. I didn't know it was toxic when I was a child, because I thought, hey, these are my parents. They're supposed to love me, and I'm supposed to love them. And, you know, it was confusing and horrible.
Well, that's where the love and hate thing comes in.
Yes.
In the beginning, it's hate, and then making up for it as a big space. After a while, the space gets closer and closer, and the vibrations make you lose your memory and God knows what.
But I can now that things are changing now. But I think another thing I learned is when you spoke about the magic of small things.
Yes.
I think previously what I would have done is I've got this revelation, I can now use it to fix everything at once.
Yes.
Well, I've learned that I can't do that, and that will only make things worse.
Right.
But what I can do is stand my ground and make, excuse me, and make small changes my relationship with my mother.
And that small change is not to get irritated with her, not to think she's wonderful when she's nice, and judge her when she isn't, because then you join in the game.
Exactly.
And it vibrates between each other.
I should say that for as well as the dementia side of things, and of course I don't think these things are unconnected, my mother also has arthritis. Now, so that means that she has, at the age of 88, she has her mobility is severely limited.
But then she's also resentful
yes.
towards you, because you see, when you help her and look at her as she has a problem and she has to look at herself in that sense, she tends to want to be jealous of you, you see, and hurt by the fact that you're just watching her but not helping her. See, in a way, just watching. She feels uncomfortable. I'm not sure if you understand what I'm saying here. Maybe I'm not understanding it myself exactly. Just to be right back. I hear the music. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883. You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters.
Hi, this is David Masters, and I want to talk to you about supporting the work of my dad, Roy Masters. I think of the word gratitude, and I wonder how many of you have that sense or that feeling. The word actually means the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation, and to return kindness. When you support the Foundation of Human Understanding, you're showing your gratitude. You're showing that you've been helped, and you're showing that that has value. Not only that, but you're thinking about future generations that will need to hear this message many years into the future. Remember, your donations are tax deductible, and they go to supporting this work on the radio, in the prison ministry, and for the military. To donate online, go to www.fhu.com/donate. That's fhu.com/donate. Or through the mail to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Gratitude. It will make all the difference in your life.
Okay, so let me just say, introduce Heather again from London. And we're talking about dementia, so some of you are just listening. I just want to make a point for those who are just tuned in and miss most of the program. I'm saying that codependency is something to do with love and hate. And pretty soon, for example, you put somebody on the pedestal, you get married. And you marry them because they support what's wrong with you. But you don't know there's anything wrong with you. You just need the love of another person. And then you become dependent on it as the relationship develops. And then at some point, you begin to feel the pull of manipulation. The sweetness is not so sweet, because no matter how nice she or he is to you, there is something wrong with that niceness that's obligating you to do what they are willing through that relationship. By being nice to you, it puts you on a pedestal, lifts you away from your sense of anxiety, the feeling of anxiety that's following you all the way to the grave. And so in the beginning, the codependency is like a big pendulum swinging from one to another. One of you is the lover, and the other one is loved, but then obligated to do what the lover wants. And it becomes resentfulness and rebellion. And then it changes. And so the person that's rebelling gives the other person a hard time, and the other person will try harder to love, only to embolden the person to be more obligated for that love. And it's a love-hate relationship, and it goes backwards and forwards. And pretty soon, one of you, or both of you, and where dementia is concerned, the vibration of love one minute and angry the next minute, and then in order to keep the sense of worth alive, you could actually start to judge the woman, especially can actually think that another woman is looking at the husband and it isn't. And she tends to make a judgment secretly to herself and gets resentful. And then when she gets resentful, she feels guilty. When she feels guilty, she takes that out on him. When he takes it out on him, he feels guilty and takes it out on her. Then they both feel guilty and they fall in love again. And that process gets slowly but surely, one of you starting to get sick and can't do it anymore. And the other person who is left alone with a sick person starts to resent his sickness because he can't play the game anymore. And she resents his sickness one minute, and the next minute she feels guilty and loves him, and when she loves him, the sickness gets better. And then she's imagining all kinds of things that he's not even doing anymore because he needs that love-hate relationship to feel better about herself. So sooner or later, the vibrations between love and hate and love, one person may simply have a mental decision, a heart problem, and God knows what, and get frustrated and leave the woman or the man alone, but especially the women. Leave that woman alone with no husband, he's sick, run off with another woman. But she starts to imagine all these kinds of things. So even if you live together and you are sort of getting further and further apart in this love-hate relationship, in the head of the person that's watching, she will invent something that isn't true so she can love it one minute and then hate it the next. She needs the love and the hate, and it vibrates. And when it vibrates, it's like a vibration of continuous stress energy, because it takes stress to function in this way. Human beings are not meant to be functioning like animals. Human beings tend to the purpose of a human being is best served by learning to give real love. But real love can actually be misunderstood with a person who has dementia. And see that?
I see that, Roy, what I'm doing now with my mother is I'm standing back both spiritually and in a sense physically.
And
I'm, I'm encouraging her gently to do more for herself. Within the limits of her her arthritis, and the actual situation in which we find ourselves.
Well, let me just say this to you: there isn't much of a chance for your mother.
Sorry.
Much of a chance for you. Your mother has multiple problems.
They have the same base, don't they?
Yeah, but you need to get closer to the base. So the love-hate relationship is the offshoot, the eventual offshoot, and the price you have to pay, and whereby you're so confused and not wanting to face yourself that it's very difficult to deal with them. But you may want to talk to your mother about arthritis, for example.
Yes.
So there's something you didn't. So let's talk about arthritis first. Because
yes.
Because otherwise you're going to be dealing with a sickness that's further down the line.
Right.
And so you need to talk to her something about why she has arthritis. And you can say to her, listen, Mom, I know what's wrong with your arthritis. Oh, really?
Right.
Yeah? Okay. She says, well, the reason is because the way you get angry affects your blood chemistry.
I've heard you mention this before, but carry on for myself and the others who need to hear it.
Okay, so it affects the blood chemistry, And also, what you think is well known, that the very thought of something can actually produce it, like who has it in his mind has already committed it, so to speak. It has an immediate effect, so whereby you have to control yourself and in an attempt to not let that thought become reality. See that?
Yes, got it.
So what I'm trying to say here is that if you can convince your mother that she's angry, and this anger has a chemical effect on her immune system and her body chemistry, and that calcium, under these conditions, tend to settle in the wrong place. You see, there's order inside a human being, and this order is okay so long as the order is not disturbed by stresses and upsets and anger, whatever it is. Whatever it is that makes you angry one minute and guilty the next minute and making it up to somebody the next minute and it doesn't really work. And so, but if you just take that anger and say that things work out badly, but especially the mind and body is sort of compromised, so that the disturbance of the field, the emotional, the anger, the disturbance causes it in one thing. It causes thousands, hundreds of thousands of different variations, but in your case, Mother, it's depositing the calcium in the wrong places. It will take you about 6 or 7 years that you have left to undo that, because you're dealing with bones, see, and muscles. So you're dealing with that, but you need to learn to overcome the anger that you feel towards me, or one minute you feel you love me, the next minute you don't. But the point is, the anger is causing the calcium to be deposited in the wrong place, so it becomes distortion. And you look in the mirror and you see the change the anger has done. And if that doesn't surprise you, then maybe you know what else you can say to that, because there's something you can say. Because if you don't see it and you don't recognize the fact that what I'm saying is true, and that you're looking in the mirror and it's changing the way you look. I've never seen an animal do that. Animals don't have love-hate relationships. They just they don't have right and wrong, good and evil, but we do. And we look in the mirror, we see we've changed. You really should, when you die, you shouldn't really look much different than when you were young. You should be recognizable. Everybody needs to be recognizable, but the truth of the matter is, the stresses of every kind, so complicated, and much more complicated and deviant than I've just said. So much of it. And we're being so much treated that we don't have to really exert any effort, and you can't look in the mirror and see what really is wrong with us, because we're taking medicine so we don't see what's wrong with us. It's getting more and more difficult to get people to look at themselves. But when you look at it, but you get your mother to look in the mirror saying, this is what happens to you, that's how it was changing your looks. That's making you not be able to lift your arms and legs. See?
And
it makes your knuckles get bigger and bigger. I warned my wife, if you do that 45 years ago, that you should have knuckles that look, swollen knuckles and swollen. It all happened exactly the way I told her. Exactly.
Yes, and now mum is in this situation. She has people, she has me of all people. Helping her to do things, and she's hating, I can understand as you speak.
Yeah.
She's hating me for helping her, and it's making things worse.
Yeah, because she's dependent on you, and she doesn't like it. She resents you're healthy, and she isn't. So damned if you help her and damned if you don't. In other words, she's stuck with that. You may not be able to cure that. You've got to be very careful you don't get infected by it. Okay, we'll be right back.
Hi, Hi, this is David Masters, and I want to talk to you about supporting the work of my dad, Roy Masters. I think of the word gratitude, and I wonder how many of you have that sense or that feeling. The word actually means the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation, and to return kindness. When you support the Foundation of Human Understanding, you're showing your gratitude. You're showing that you've been helped, and you're showing that that has value. Not only that, but you're thinking about future generations that will need to hear this message many years into the future. Remember, your donations are tax deductible, and they go to supporting this work on the radio, in the prison ministry, and for the military. To donate online, go to www.fhu.com/donate. That's fhu.com/donate. Or through the mail to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Gratitude. It will make all the difference in your life. It may seem that there's nothing you can do about stress, but you can instantly have more control than you might think. Roy Masters shows you how to conquer stress by taking charge of your thoughts, emotions, anxieties, and changing the way you react to problems. Do you realize that every time you think a negative thought, your body reacts as if it were in the grip of an actual tension-filled situation? Well, there is an antidote. Download the ebook, The Secret Power of Words by Roy Masters, on Kindle and Amazon.com. William Wolf says, this book is perhaps the single most dynamic weapon available to counter the tremendously destructive influences of the raging cultural revolution sweeping the world. Download the ebook now at Amazon.com or read the ebook, Meaning and Happiness, Overcoming Stress, Fear, and Pain. Download at Amazon.com on Kindle. In fact, there are many more titles by Roy Masters available for instant download right now at Amazon.com. Just search Roy Masters on Kindle and Amazon.com to positively change your life right now.
Discover an easy and simple drug-free antidote to overcome alcoholism, drugs, smoking, and other various addictions with a simple app. Discover Cure Stress. With the Cure Stress app, you can begin to walk away from addiction in just 7 minutes. And this 7-minute technique is free on the Cure Stress app. Break the endless loop of negative thoughts. Improve how you interact with people at work or at home with the Cure Stress app. You can finally heal from past traumatic events or resolve relationship difficulties. It can even help you cope with post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD. And it only takes 7 minutes, free, with the Cure Stress app. Change your life without effort and in the comfort and privacy of your home in just 7 minutes with the Cure Stress app. Free and available now on Apple App Store and Android Google Play. Finally, cure stress with the Cure Stress app.
Are you suffering with PTSD after being in the military? You should see what people are saying about Roy Masters online.
In my experience as a commander who mobilized and returned thousands of wartime veterans, I have seen soldiers make rapid improvement through the use of Be Still and Know. Major General George R. Harris.
Google Roy Masters PTSD. You'll see what I mean.
The Be Still and Know exercise works for me. It calms my soul, enhances my thinking, and improves my emotional regulation. I'm thankful to be a more resilient chaplain. Lieutenant Colonel Philip Pringle, Southern Baptist.
Go online and Google Roy Masters now. You'll be amazed at what you find.
I must say, on the basis of 20 years' experience, that the application of this exercise has made a significant contribution to the treatment of the great majority of those who have used it. Dr. George Hader, diplomat of the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology.
You need to see what people have to say about Roy Masters online. On your computer, tablet, or even your smartphone, go online and search for Roy Masters PTSD Military. You'll be glad you did.
Like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning, on an ever spinning reel.
As the You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Well, I'm talking to Heather in London, but we do, since people are joining us for the first time, we just need to sort of start it up in a different way, but in a way that you can possibly understand, codependency or dementia. And
arthritis.
Yeah, arthritis too, yes.
And anything else.
Anything else, basically. But what I'm trying to say is that the average person, when you get married and you don't really know what love is, the tendency is you give yourself to the person who loves you. And then the person that, when you give yourself to a person that seems to love you, you embolden their cleverness to get their way, or you, if you get angry, you embolden their angriness, and so on and so forth. So you have a love or hate relationship going on between you. And once you start to become dependent upon love-hate relationships, then there comes a point where a person like a man who gives money to his wife and gives in so long as she loves him and serves him with sex and whatever it is that makes him feel better, but only makes him worse. Because when you have a love-hate relationship, when you appease somebody to get things, you're actually bringing them down to your will. And then, but damned if you get the love and damned if you don't. So there's a tendency in either case. So once you become dependent upon looking for getting love and having to getting love from people, but it isn't love. All it does is makes you more dependent on that love.
And more resentful.
And more resentful, right. Because it doesn't really work. It all it does is when you appease a person, that's the love part, then you only make them more hungry for you or weaker for you, which then in turn makes you angry again. But so that goes backwards and forwards in a wide angle, a wide, big space. But it gets to the point where one of you may run away and one of you dies. And now you have your memory. You can actually, while they're still sick in the bed with mental problems and heart problems, you can actually look at that and say and resent it, just simply looking at that person who now can't help you anymore, and you're judging him, but then pretending to be nice about it. But you're judging him because you need the energy to feel superior to that person. See? And you try to be nice to that person, and he's dying. And the more nice you are to him, the more you die. The more he dies, because the worse you get. And the worse you get. That's right. So you could actually have a person that begins to imagine. So the husband dies, or the wife dies. But usually it's this way around with women. When your husband dies, you have to start imagining him, and then resenting him in your imagination. And even if he's still alive, you won't tell him. What's the matter, dear? Nothing, nothing, nothing. See, you won't tell him because you're judging him and resenting him, but you have to resent him in order to feel alive. Because you need energy you need the energy of a person to keep you alive. You need somebody to demoralize, to degrade, and if you can't degrade them, you invent things. And you start accusing them. And that's how it begins in a big way. And then becomes a very small thing because you're left alone with your imaginations. And one minute you're hating them in your head, the next minute you're loving them in your head, the next minute you accuse them in your head, and next minute you start accusing everybody of seeing this, and so you, and the people say, what's the matter with me? What's the matter? But you don't know. You, in other words, what you're doing is you've got to be very careful how you're dealing with people with dementia. Very careful, because your mother is old now, 88, there's very little chance that you're going to be able to help her. The big problem is how do you escape from it, which you have done. And since you've escaped from it, she will start to accuse you of doing things you didn't do and get you to get involved with her again.
Absolutely. I live with my mother. I was the one who stayed. It was my brother who ran away, okay? And because I have more understanding now, I realize that I am where I am.
Yes.
But I don't have to run. I mean, I tried running away, but that's another story.
No, that's not it.
I am where I am. We are where we are.
Correct.
And this is now because I recognize what you just described before the break about the way my mother feels and what's going on inside. I recognize that because that is how I felt all those years ago when my mother did too much for me.
Right.
She is now in the place where I was when I was, 11, 12. And I wanted to be independent and do things for myself. And she wouldn't let me. She compulsively did everything for me. And I hated it and resented it.
And then you felt guilty and you gave in.
Yes, I gave in, and it crippled me.
That's right.
Okay? Now, I know that. I have a measure of insight and understanding because I am different. I had the opportunity to hear you on the radio all those years ago, and I can hear you now.
Hold it right there. See that music? We'll come back and I'll let you finish. I know where you're going. This is a good way. This is a good thing you're about to say. Late. So now, let's continue with Heather. Continue, Heather. You make an appointment. Go ahead.
My mother is now physically and emotionally, whatever, in the same place that I was when
exactly.
I was in my early teens.
Exactly.
As a young girl, wanting to be independent, to grow up, maybe even to leave home, have a family, do all the usual things that one is supposed to do. And I was prevented from doing it by my mother, who made me dependent on her, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I hated it. I could not, how could I say I hated it? Because she's my mother, and from the outside, it looks, and she thinks, it looks like love.
It does, yes.
It's not love.
No.
Worry, it was worry. She worried about me.
And that's not
I
love
I hated
either.
Being worried
of
about.
Of course.
I absolutely hated about
it. It looks good on the person. It looks good on the person that
yes.
is worried about you. It's like it's.
And it took me all these years. Now I understand because, I have been able to listen to you. Somehow, I sat by whatever miracle it was a miracle. I was crossing the dial back in those days, and I heard you. And yes, I got caught up with you. How could I not?
Yeah, well, there was but a love-hate relationship with me, wasn't there?
I have survived.
Yes.
I have been through all that. And now I'm in this place where I'm different. I am not the same person.
You're free.
Yes. But it would not be right, and it would not benefit either mother or
myself. I know where you're
going
with it. I know where you're going with it.
If I walked out on her
exactly,
now,
exactly.
Or put her in a residential home.
That's correct.
This is however long God gives us together, this is our time. It's our time to have as much of a right relationship as we can together.
Hold it right there. Hold it right there. It's just a second. Now, you are doing the right thing by standing by your mother, but this time you're doing it in freedom and hoping that your calmness and not a reactive resentment towards these things pulling you into the game of love-hate, see?
Yes.
So that is a certain quality about her that when she starts to irritate you and accuse you of something to get you involved again, out of guilt, see, like it was before, in something
yes.
different stands in the way, something beautiful, it could awaken her. That's
yes.
the only thing that can awaken her, and your life dedicated to that in your mother, learning to, because she knew she's in a state that she doesn't understand as you do, and therefore she's lost, but you are not lost, you are found. And as you are found, and as she throws these things against you and you don't get upset, she gets upset more. But maybe she's starting to get upset with you in a way that is causing the good in you to get inside her. Do you remember I've mentioned that
yes.
when you stay calm to a bully, which is basically...
Absolutely, yes.
When you stay calm, is this has a strange reaction to the person who's trying to devour you and make you a slave. And they don't realize they're doing it. So if you can stand your ground and spend the rest of your life with and love your mother and understand she doesn't see what she's doing, the only way she can see what she's doing is for you to see, is to have that kind of love that does not play into the game, that in the beginning starts to upset her, but when she gets upset by your calmness, it is something happens that comes from you into her with a tendency to awaken her from her dementia. It all depends upon the inclination of her soul, but if it isn't good for her, it is good for you.
Exactly.
Okay, got it.
And how whatever I'm accused of, and however bad I may look to people around my mother that don't fully understand what's going on, I just have to stand my ground.
Well, then you shame them. You're shaming them because they put their mother in nut houses. See? And they walk away and have a life. But you don't.
But it's not a life.
No, it's not a life.
I don't believe people who put their mother in nut houses. What life is that? Because, as you have said before, if the commandment is honor thy mother and father, you can. It doesn't go anywhere if you've done that out of resenting them.
Yes, of course. I think this is a very, very good discussion you are having.
Because
it covers a lot.
Well, we must give credit some of the credit. We know who the ultimate credit goes to my dear sister Wendy for encouraging me to call.
That's very sweet. She did the right thing.
Because as you have said to me, in my life I have overcome many things, and this is the thing overcoming. I'm being given the grace to overcome at this time in this place.
Now here it is. I'm married 63 years, and there's a chance for my wife to get better, and she's taking it. It took 60. What a good thing that is. And if it isn't good, well, we'll talk about that after the break. We'll be right back. All right, so now, Heather, I'm married, and you're in the marriage, you have your mother. Honor your mother and father because she knows not what she does.
I'm not married.
No, but I'm married. I have a relationship with my wife, and that she doesn't see. She says, I've been lost all my life. I didn't know who I was. This isn't me. I know this isn't me. There's something in me. That is something in everybody. There's something in your mother that keeps this thing going, that wants to possess you, to take your life force. Don't you see that? She won't let you go. And as long as you give in to that, you die.
Yes.
And see? And then she dies also if she can't find anyone to feed on. Because you see, what she needs to see is what is in you, that beautiful quality of loving your mother and your father, even though they are not lovable, so to speak.
Right.
In other words, you love, don't hate your enemy. You love, don't hate your mother. You love, don't hate your father. And you've got a good thing going. That doesn't mean to say that you... What are you going to say? Go ahead.
I was going to say that my father died in 1997. And I did not have the opportunity to talk with him in the same way I hope to have the opportunity to talk with my mother. I have wept for my father as I have remembered, as the past has come up for me.
Yes.
Through the meditation.
He wasn't there for you. He wasn't there to protect you from your mother for a reason. You resent him.
I resented him.
Yes,
and
right.
And I would like, if I had the opportunity to apologize to my father, you know, if he were physically present,
yes,
I would do so.
You've already done it.
I have to realize and accept that that's not possible.
Correct.
But what I can do, hopefully, is, you know, have the conversation and, you know, perhaps just, get a copy of this program and play it to Mum.
I'm not sure. You know, that might be a good idea. Hold the line and go away.
Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Yes, we're nearing the end of this hour with Heather, and a lot of good information has been imparted, but this love-hate relationship is not only wrecking your life, it's wrecking your health, and it passes on through the generations, because you see Heather had a problem she had with her mother, codependent, but she's freer now. But mother is not free. And she will tend to be difficult and accusative in order to bring her back in. But if she doesn't overreact, if she has real love that she has now, and where she had false love before, looking for mom's approval out of guilt, and it goes backwards and forwards. Damned if you get it, damned if you don't get the love. But now she has this love, which is pure, and she sees the mother that she never understood what she did. She didn't understand how it killed her father. See, that they had that relationship, and the codependency will always kill one another. The one that's on the bottom of the totem pole dies of something, and then what's left in the living one is frustration and anger towards the one in the grave. And so that you have a love-hate relationship going on in the head, imagining some things that are not true, but yet getting the feeling of upset and guilt. See, and doing the nice things for people for a little bit, and then becoming more and more gullible, the more angry you get. The more, and after a while, you can't do anything at all, because nothing you do is right. All you do is sit there. And what happens, you sit in a old age home where nurses come around and do nice things for you, waiting to die, for there's nothing else to do, and you don't know who you are and where you're going. Am I right, Heather?
Yes, you are absolutely right, Roy. But the good news is there's a way out.
But there's a way out for you and a possible way out for her. And
yes,
it will work for you one way or the other. I always say, if your mother is the adversary and doesn't appreciate your real kindness, but is jealous of you, which is really a secret, they will see that quality in you and resent you for it secretly. See,
yes,
and then want to make up to you to do it. And as long as you don't fall into that game, as long as you understand what's going on, your ability to stay calm frustrates the person, your mother, frustrates her. It can't help but that. She's jealous. You're not giving her what she wants. You actually are giving her what she wants, but
I'm giving her what she needs.
I guess that's right. You're giving her what she needs, and this is what happens. She either wakes up from the lifelong trance, which most people live in anyway, and she suddenly says, hello, here I am. Thank you for being nice to me, because that's what's happening to my wife. 63 years I waited. I understand what I was doing. I just had to wait. There's no way in the world you can cure this with hypnosis or anything else, because the state itself is hypnotic. It's inherited, or sin, if you like. The state itself is hypnotic. And hypnotic and trauma or sin, all different words for the same thing. You can't cure it. It's inherited. So your mother really didn't know any more than to love and then hate, because love is not real. And all it does
any more than I did over the years. When I didn't go out much into the world, but I went far enough to get a job and find bosses that I loved and hated. So now I'm in a place where, as I said to Wendy on the phone, I can see the patterns. Yes, I can see my mother's patterns. I can see my own patterns.
And she can't help herself, can she? She was born that way, and you were born to it. But God came to you. In a miracle, and God came to me to share that with you, and now you're doing the right thing by your mother, and just waiting for her to wake up or pass away. Either way, it works for you, if you don't mind me saying it.
No, I understand that, Roy. And if and some people would, I think there was a lady on the phone, would see that this way of being as heartless and cruel.
Of course,
because they don't fully appreciate the dynamic and what is actually going on metaphysically.
Of course. Well, anyway, we're coming to the end of the program. I've enjoyed it. I think people have listened intensely to what you were saying, and hopefully, it's not easy to talk about these things unless you're talking to the person themselves. Actually, if I could talk to your mother, but then maybe I could do a little magic there. But I think it's your job to do the magic. And the magic is to love, don't hate the enemy, adversary that's inside her that originally was eating your life force away as a child. You're not eating away at a life force. You want her to wake up. And the only way you can wake her up is to stay awake yourself and not fall into the trap of resenting her one minute and being angry with the next, and so on and so forth. Am I right?
Absolutely. As usual, Uncle Roy, you're 100% on the money.
Yeah, and so that God will love you, and one way or the other, she gets better, and another way, she dies, but now you're free, and you've done the right thing, and God gives you a sense of freedom and purpose, because that in itself is beautiful, to honor your mother and father. So because they couldn't help being born that way. They were born innocent. You were born innocent, but you found your innocence. And with that innocence, you are now beginning to shine that innocence on her and not playing the game. But every time she tries to upset you, it upsets her that she can't upset you, and that's a good thing, because there's something good in you gets inside her instead of something bad it gets inside you from her. And that's the game, if you want to call it a game. Listen, Heather, I appreciate you calling. You are a very good caller, and we've made something pretty much clear for a lot of people, not to put people on pedestals or love too much of their children so they become slaves, as you described. God bless you, Heather. I've said goodnight to you and everybody on this program. Support my program with your tax-deductible donation. All right, so if you like these programs, this has been a long one. Very rarely do I keep a person on the air, but it says such a lot. It's difficult to say these things. But you've discovered something about yourself. Love, hate is everywhere. It's killing you, enslaving and being enslaved, and so on and so forth. So please support the program. This program is supported by our listeners and not by any commercial. It's tax deductible. Thank you very much. Post Office Box, Foundation of Human Understanding, 1000 Post Office Box, 1000 Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Thank you very much.